Time magazine in 2022 chose President Zelensky of Ukraine as their Man of the Year for providing inspirational leadership in a time of national crisis. He was here, there and everywhere, meeting this world leader and that, visiting the troops, making memorable and encouraging speeches. Linda gave me a book of his speeches for my Christmas. They were moving and heartwarming. The presence of great leadership makes a difference. When the commander-in-chief mingles with the troops, a handshake here, an arm around the shoulder there, it stiffens resolve, clarifies purpose. During the Second World War, when Monty's beret could be seen at the head of the column, set at its jaunty angle, sinews were strengthened, feelings of security engendered, backbone became steel. I remember doing a radio interview with a woman who had been involved in the Enigma code-breaking programme at Bletchley Park, and she spoke of how they all felt affirmed and appreciated, encouraged and inspired when first Churchill and then Mountbatten came to see the work they were doing, stood there in the room alongside them and their machines, and they felt a sense of the significance of what they were doing, the worth of their work. Morale soared. There's something about being in the presence of greatness. It's happened to me 3 times at least. Padan Gyatso, a wrinkled, skinny Buddhist monk who had endured 30 years of torture and imprisonment in Tibet, escaped across the mountains and found freedom. There I was having breakfast with this toothless, emaciated hero while he was in Edinburgh with Amnesty International. It was humbling and enthralling to hear his story. When the Presbytery of Lothian sent me to Glasgow to represent them, when Nelson Mandela came to receive the freedom of that city, the free song of excitement, just being in the presence of something very special to do with courage and integrity, it's hard to describe. And that day when the General Assembly rose to welcome Lord George MacLeod on his final visit there before his death, just to be there saluting a truly remarkable man, a giant of the Church and of Scotland, was unforgettable, an experience alive with power and meaning, spine-tingling. Presence is precious. When someone makes the effort to be at our wedding, or an old friend stands with us in solidarity as we grieve, it matters that they are near, sharing the moment, sharing the pain or the joy. A letter is one thing, a phone call is one thing. Presence is something else. It's about encouragement, standing shoulder to shoulder, actually, really. It's about love. For Israel, the presence of God was direct and awesome, powerfully symbolised in the Ark of the Covenant, in the pillar of fire and the cloud as they tramped through their wilderness years, in the sacred flame burning in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah, the tent of the presence, where none dared venture for fear of obliteration, none save the high priest, and that only after blood and sacrifice and purification. In tent and temple, the presence of the Lord was a terrifying privilege that brought fire, judgment and mystery. And the powerful drama of Jewish liturgy and cultic ritual drew the heart and the eye to understand this dangerous, capricious, powerful presence, to create a vivid sense and a deep respect for the sacred. Where is the presence of God for us that would put steel in our soul and embolden us in our faith? Where do we encounter this presence of God that is so creative and enlivening for faith? Well, here in worship, for starters. God is everywhere, but especially present where 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, even on Zoom. That togetherness in waiting for God promises a different dynamic, an extraordinary opportunity for focused encounter. A time that is dangerous and revealing, heartwarming and unique, as together we seek a word from the Lord and together we open ourselves to his coming into our lives with a special honesty and urgency, a special focus. Now, people will tell you that they can encounter those sacred moments just as easily on the golf course on a Sunday morning or halfway up a mountain or at the Sunday market. Utter balderdash. I think that's a mixture of special pleading and wishful thinking. Worship is a happening where the presence of God makes things happen, miss out on the happening, and you miss out. In that special experience of unity, faith, love, and devotion, God is present with a powerful, life-changing reality. Of course, the presence of God is also sharply felt in special places. We all have them, under the humbling magic of the night sky, or sitting alone in a country churchyard, staring in wonder at the vaulted ceiling of a great cathedral that's been filled to the roof with prayer and praise for countless centuries. A journey to Iona, dripping with the history of the church. The Sea of Galilee, as we place our footsteps on the beach where the Lord placed his. A moment where our heart is still and our soul focused, and it becomes a holy place for us. And we're touched, stirred, humbled, and affirmed as God draws near and gives us his benediction, his blessing. How does God meet us? Where do we find his presence? Surely in the need of others and the love of others. As we are channels of his peace, conduits of his love, others encounter him. Through us, through our ministry. He has no hands but our hands, no voice but our voice. And he's prepared to use us to be vessels of his care. And we know that when we are on the receiving end of the kindliness of others, their compassion brings God's compassion to our hurting. And we find divine love is not abstract, but comes delivered in very ordinary packages. The thoughtfulness of a neighbour, the listening ear of a friend. This is the way the work of heaven is done. The hymn writer puts it this way. He is breaking down the barriers, he is casting up the way, he is calling for his angels to build up the gates of day. But his angels here are human, not the shining hosts above. And the drumbeats of his army are the heartbeats of our love. We also encounter his presence, and we know this, through the intimacy of prayer. If we dare to go far ben with the Lord, dare the deep levels of devotion, enter that strange and powerful world of a truly disciplined devotional life. Maybe you've seen an old couple who've been married for 50 years. How deep is that love? How profound is that thick, through thick and thin relationship? And you can't know what it's like to be there, to have that kind of relationship, until it's you that's there, that people are looking at and admiring. And the same goes for the deeper reaches of prayer and spiritual searching and adventure. Scuff around in the shallows, or dare to get up close and personal with God. If faith is academic, abstract, about opinion and social order, we never discover the heart-to-heart experience of the presence of God. Only when we let it happen. And finally, we encounter the presence of God out on the edges, among those people and causes that are unfashionable and uncomfortable, the unglamorous people and places of the world, standing with and for the victims, issuing the cry for justice, embracing the lepers. We meet him there because that's where he is. He's a lot harder to meet where religion has become comfortable. But where there are oppressed and fallen, broken and used, neglected and forgotten folk, where there are crosses and harsh words and bitter betrayals and mind-numbing cruelties, he is encountered there when we're willing to walk the narrow road with him. There is no magic in this, just the reality that you can't bolt on strength. It develops gradually, muscles firm up and become strong through effort, exercise, practice. And when God's presence in our life permeates all we are and soaks into our thinking and shapes how we deal with people, baptizes our life and work with his grace and his love, we find in the passing that we have grown strong. That we are able to triumph, that in a cockeyed, crazy, broken-backed world like ours, we can dare to sing.